But it is good to be here and to you know, there's nothing like assembling together. The Bible says, do not give up assembling together, amen? Because there's something very special when we come together and that you just can't get with Zoom, I'm sorry, or that online stuff. So very thankful. So this is going to be a little bit different message than what we've kind of been seeing over these last few months. And it's kind of been really what's on my heart, what's been going through my spirit. And just this past week, I was journaling with another pastor. And at the end, he was sharing with me some prophetic words that he had been receiving from the media. And as he was sharing with me, I was like, wow, these are the things that have been really gripping my heart over these months. And it was very specific, and how that the gist of what he was hearing is that there was an agenda, a hidden agenda that behind all this. And I was like, yeah, that's what I've been feeling. I've been really feeling that there's been something that doesn't meet the eye. And so there's three words that have been really going through my heart. And these three words are fear, hate, and greed. Fear, hate, and so I'm going to be looking at some scriptures concerning these and really kind of bringing out. And then we're going to look at one of my favorite psalms, psalm. And I entitled this message this morning, Call 911. And in a little bit, you'll find out what that the gist of that is. Call 911. Very important. And I not the on your rotary dial or your phone, but this is a spiritual call that I believe God is asking us to make in this day. And so you know, it certainly we're living through unprecedented times. Amen. I some of the stuff that we're seeing today, it's like, who would have imagined after last year, you know, that things were going so well, the economy was just at its all-time high, and all of a sudden, COVID hits, and we're going through this COVID, and what was the main thing that hit with COVID? Fear, just so much fear, and some of it was, you know, in the beginning, it was like, what in the world, and no one knew exactly what was happening. It was something very new, and how do you get this just by touching, breathing, and so there was all this stuff, and the thing that was really that struck me was that, you know, one thing that you don't need to wear masks, you know, in the beginning, don't worry about wear masks, don't worry about, and all of a sudden switch that, now you got to wear masks, and you got to be separated, and you got to do this and this and this, and it stays on surfaces for 12 hours. It stays on surfaces 5 hours. It was just like, you know, overload of information, right? And all that was what? Feeding that fear. And then as COVID was coming to a close, lo and behold, we have some events that hit America. And what was the main thing of this event was what? Hatred. Hatred towards authorities. Hatred towards the flag. The United States American flag and all that. But you know, there's been hatred. Even before this, there's been a lot of hatred being exposed in our nation. Amen. I mean, the hatred towards Christians, the hatred towards our president, our leadership, such hatred has been fomenting, has been really just going unhinged. And then this thought of greed and you know, and the thing that I felt the Lord really focusing on this greed was the desire for power. Just a desire for power was behind this. And we have to see, and I felt the Lord saying that intertwined and underneath this fear, this hatred, is this underlying spirit of greed, of a desire for power. And I want us to keep that in mind as we go through this, that there's a lot going on in our world today and certainly in our nation. And I believe the Spirit of God is wanting us. And you know, I've been thinking, it's like, how are we as Christians, how are we to navigate these times that we're living in with such fear, such hatred, and this underlying spirit of greed and a desire for power outside of God? That's the key, outside of God. And how are we to navigate these times and these situations? It's so very important. And I believe that, you know, the key that God was speaking over and over to me is to understand truth. Understand truth. And it's that very thing that will save us, that very thing that will protect us, because there's a lot of stuff going on out there. There's a lot of lying, deception, and people are thinking that the truth comes from this, what this person is saying, what this scientist is saying. But in reality, there's a lot of untruth coming out of that. Amen? And so we need to come back to where truth is. The Prince of the God is the way, the truth, and the life. So we got to come back to where the source of truth really is, and to counteract everything that is happening around us. And we need to see, and again, the thing that God kept saying to me, what's been going in my spirit, that yes, we've had a coronavirus, and I don't want to make light. Please hear me out. The coronavirus is a very serious virus, and I'm not here to make light of what has happened. And the racial tension that we are seeing in America, I don't want to make light of that, because there are some serious issues behind that. But what I'm saying that we don't hear from the media, we don't hear from people, is that there is an agenda. And it's not just agenda in the physical realm. There's a spiritual agenda underlying everything that we are seeing taking place in this nation, but all around the world. There's an agenda. There's a spiritual agenda. And I believe that this agenda is coming out because we are approaching these last days. And as we'll see some scriptures that in these last days, they're the enemy's jockeying, getting ready, preparing for these end times for the release of the law, the man of lawlessness. And so keep that in mind, that there's this agenda, and we need to be discerning. We need to be hearing the truth through all the noise, through all the deception. We need to be discerning. And so let us quickly look at these three things that I felt that the Lord wanted me to focus on. And this first one, fear. You know, there are seasons in our life. There's times of crisis that we go through. But I want us to understand that they're in these times of crisis, in these times of uncertainty, as a body, the safest place for us to run to is always the Word of God. Is always the Word of God. And the problem in this world is there's so many have rejected God, the truth, and His Word. Amen? It's wrong to take a Bible into school, into the public sector. You're hated upon. And yet that is the one thing that can deliver us, that can save us, that can protect us, that gives us answers to all of life's issues. And you know, one of the things that really has ramped up is online and in the media. There's so much coming through social media, through the news media, that, you know, it got to a point where you just had to really turn it off, because there's so much, you are bombarded by fake news, by fake, really deceptive reporting, bias. And what it was doing was, you know, it was focused, biased, because it had an agenda to what? To bring fear to people. To bring that out of this chaos, to somehow make people uneasy and uncertain about the future. But we need the thing I want to reinforce is that our anchor as Christians is that Word of God. An anchor holds us steady. Though the storms are raging around us, it's that the Word of God is like an anchor, and it holds us as a winds of the media are blowing and tossing everyone back and forth in chaos and uncertainty and confusion, that anchor, the Word of God, holds us steady, holds us in and to keep focus on what is really happening. In Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." 23. And then Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Just such a comforting that you know, that thought of light, you know, in darkness, if anyone's been in pitch black darkness and you're trying to navigate, you know, you're always worried about, are you going to run into something? Are you going to fall into a hole, right? Or something, the unknown. But here, this is saying, it's in His light. It's in His light that we can see. We can see clearly. We know we don't have to be afraid of those obstacles, those things in our way, because it's His light illuminates those things. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Proverbs 29:25. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." And so we just, this thought, the fear of man, what brings a snare? It, you know, when you think of a snare, it's that trap. And what we are seeing today is, by purpose, the enemy is trying to ensnare, trying to trap people into believing a lie, believing that the enemy is our government, the enemy are Christians, the enemy are this and this, because they don't want, the enemy doesn't want people to know what the true enemy is, Satan, darkness. I love 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given me a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So, when fear rears its ugly head, we should know that source of that is what? Not the Lord. It's not the Lord. Where does that source come from? It comes from the enemy, Satan, his dominion. But in contrast, He's given us what? Power, love, and self-discipline. And how much do we need to see that in this world today? Amen? We need to see more power in the Lord. We need to see more love. Amen? And we need to see more self-discipline. Can you imagine if our nation even began to live in the reality of this scripture, that the things that we're seeing today would not even exist, because they would be self-disciplined. They would have love for one another. And even in yes, none of us are perfect, but yet there's that ability to forgive and to move and to live in that love. And 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." And so there's that key for us. What is the antidote to fear? It's the love of Christ, the love of Christ being poured into us. And how do we do that? By having by maintaining that relationship with the Lord, by spending time with the one who is perfect love. Amen. And the remedy for us can be found in Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ." Be anxious. Fear. In other words, fear nothing, but in everything we are to pray. We are to pray, because prayer is that communion with our Lord. That prayer is relating and receiving. When we pray, we're receiving from the Lord what we need to navigate, to walk in victory, to understand how we can live in these days. And then the second word, hatred. Titus 3:3 says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And so here's the key, that we see hatred. We see these hateful things going on because it is part of the old nature. It's part of the fallen nature of man. And so it's no wonder when people turn their back on the Lord, when they turn their back on the truth that is found in the gospel, there's no wonder they are manifesting that hatred towards their fellow beings, their fellow man. Proverbs 10 verse 12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." Are we seeing kind of a common thread that's going through this? Love. Love. For fear. What's the antidote for fear? Love. What's the antidote for hatred? Love. The love of Christ. Amen. God is so, He knows what He's doing. His word speaks to our situation, to our problems today. If only the world would open up their eyes to see. And Matthew 24 verse 10, speaking of the end times. "At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another." I believe we're seeing today, there is a falling away. There is a falling away. Unfortunately, we're seeing them in the church, which is a real shame. But we're seeing just a falling away from in this nation of what was good, what people were getting along, even in the political realm. I mean, there were times in the past that the Democrats and the Republicans were able to speak to one another. And today, they're like fighting. They're angry at each other. Unbelievable. Falling away. "The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And that's just kind of really speaking about our day and age today, that there's the people walking in darkness. And because of that darkness, that they can't even love. They don't even know how to love. And Matthew 5:43-45, "You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And I love this scripture. And this is really a remedy for hatred. Amen. It speaks of here, you know, logically you would think, yeah, you hate your enemy. They're evil. They want nothing but to destroy you. So what's wrong with hating them? And yet Jesus is raising that bar, that standard, above even logic, and saying, what? We are to love our enemies and to bless those that curse us and to do good to those who even hate us and who would spitefully use us. And I was just thinking about what we're seeing in response to the racial tensions. That can you imagine if these people would follow this remedy right here? Yes, there are police officers that spitefully did something very bad, very wrong. But can you imagine if our nation would follow this remedy right here, that we would not have stores being burnt up, that we would not have people's lives being destroyed because of this remedy? Amen? Very simple. The Bible has very simple remedies, but we need to be connected to the source in order to follow through. And then we have this third word, which is greed, which I believe is that underlying influence behind all of this. As I have mentioned, there's a uncanny desire for power, but it's not the power, a good power. It's a power to destroy. It's a power to take over and to manipulate and to bring about an agenda that is anti-Christ. Amen. And we need to be aware of this underlying agenda and make sure that we don't succumb to this very agenda, this very spirit. It's a spirit that is roaming, that is operating in the world today. Proverbs 1:19 says, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." Very strong words. And then Ezekiel 33:31 says, "So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." And I believe that is really what this spirit. It, on the outside, they seem to be, you know, just taking the Black Lives Matter. You know, you would think a good organization that they should be promoting racial. But in, if you really look at the underlying agenda to them, it's far from bringing racial justice. There's an agenda underneath them to destroy what America really is and to destroy people. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And so here, this covetousness, which is really another name for greed, look at what it's being labeled or associated with. You know, these are some really fornication, uncleanness, and filthiness, foolishness, coarse jesting. So we can understand that this spirit of greed, covetousness, that it's not good. It's a destructive spirit. It's a destructive force. And 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge." So as I read that, did that just kind of give you a picture of what is happening today? Isn't that an apt picture of really what people and what is being manifested in our nation and in this world because of the greed, because of this covetousness, because of this desire, unholy desire for power? You know, I now turn to Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, my wife and I have since, for months now in our quiet time, we have prayed this psalm every day. We've made this a very significant, intentional to pray this daily during our devotional. And not only pray, not only read it, but we pray it and we declare it. We speak it as if it is done for us. And so, you know, as we have been going through this time of COVID and now with this chaos that's hitting us, the one thing that we have felt that we fear has never come into us at all. Like fear has been left and been kicked out of our house. We've been at such peace and such strength and such clarity in our mind, because I believe God has been, as we declare this, God has been answering this. And so I want to quickly look at this and as you read this, and I know it's probably going to be up in the New King James Version up here, but I have the CEV version just because it's easier to make it as a prayer. And so, you know, Psalm 91:1, call out 911. It's really, our 911 is to live under the protection of God Most High and to stay in the shadow of God All-Powerful. It's to stay in His presence. Clear and simple. You know, call 911. God, I am staying in your presence every day. That's our only safety, brothers and sisters, to be in his presence day in and day out. That is our 9-1. And we will say to the Lord, Lord, you are my fortress. You are my place of safety. You are my God, and I am trusting you daily. Lord, I know that you are keeping me safe from every trap, from every deadly disease. And we say, Lord, you are protecting us from this coronavirus. It has no place in our home, in our lives. And we declare that. He spreads his wings over us to keep us secure from every of all that, that those lies and the deception that's going around us. It's his, he covers us with those feathers, and we're like, we're hearing his voice alone. His faithfulness, Lord, your faithfulness is a shield, and it's like a strong walled city. Okay, just get that picture that nothing can penetrate. There's nothing that can deflect us. I don't need to worry about the dangers, about those things that are happening in this world today. I don't need to fear diseases that strike during the day or sudden disasters. Lord, I declare that we will not be harmed. Though thousands are falling all around us, and we know that there's a lot of deaths that have occurred because of COVID. And I love this. And with our own eyes, we shall see the punishment of the wicked. If any time we need to see that, and we declare that God is going to take out wickedness from our nation, and we declare that. God will command his angels to protect us wherever we go, whether we have to go into the stores, whether we go to work, wherever we go, we know that his angels are around about us, and we can be secure. We can have that peace. They will carry us in, the angels are carrying us in their arms, and we won't hurt. We won't be hurt by anything. And I love this, and we declare this, that we will overpower the strongest lions and the most deadly snakes. In other words, we have the authority of God to speak and declare that they shall not come near to us, that any disease shall not have any place in our home, that our family is protected from the lies, from the deception that's taken place. And we say, Lord, we love you, and we truly know who you are, and that we have that promise that you will rescue us, you will keep us safe, and when we are in trouble, Lord, I know we can call out to you, and you will answer us. Thank you. And then, Lord, I know that you will give us a long life according to your will, that no disaster will take us before your time, before our time is finished. You see the power of praying God's word. And my wife and I can attest that as we've been praying this, that we have been strengthened like never before through his word. And so I want to challenge all of us this morning, as we have looked at these three words, fear, hatred, and greed, that I want to challenge each and every one of us in our prayer time to really focus on these three things to make sure that our lives are not affected negatively by these very spirits. Amen. That we pray Psalm 91 over us so that these things will not penetrate us. But I also want to pray that we would come in agreement together. And as we pray against these three things, that we would take the authority in prayer and to begin to see these things fall in our nation. Hatred, fear, and greed, that the desire for unholy power. And I believe I felt from God that God is looking for us as Christians to stand in the gap for this nation and for this world. And as we pray specifically concerning these things, that God's power will be released and to come in, and we will see miracle after miracle after miracle. But we need to cover ourselves with Psalm 91, and we need to pray specifically concerning these three things. And as we do, we're going to see a transformation. We're going to see a change in the environment that we live in. Amen. Worship team.